Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and while you're turning there, I want to welcome you to our worship service this morning. Pray that you feel the love of the Holy Spirit in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, there's a blue card that's in the chair right in front of you, and would invite you to fill that out. If this is your first visit, or if it's your, you know, whatever visit, but you've never let us kind of know who you are, we would love to know who you are. And there's a box on there you can check if you'd like to be on our email list. We communicate a lot by email. So really glad that you are here this morning. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Skip over to verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask you to speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, the Higginbotham family lit our third Advent candle, the candle of joy. And so this third Sunday of Advent, we celebrate joy. The angel said in Luke chapter 2, the angel said to them, to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So the angel brought news about Jesus' birth, and they said that this was good news of great joy. So the question, I think, for us this morning, are we a joyful people? Let that soak in a second. Are you joyful with all your heart, or are you hardly ever joyful? You know, this world has a way of, I talked about it last week. A pastor friend of ours from Focus on the Family calls them joy suckers. This world has a way of sucking the joy right out of us if we let it, doesn't it? Especially when we don't understand true joy. Today, continue the sermon series, God with Us. That word Emmanuel means God with us. And today's message is God joy. Now, the first week we talked about hope, and then last week we talked about peace, and then today we'll talk about joy. And in all of these, something I want to point out, all of these are products of faith. You can't have hope unless you have faith. You can't have peace unless you have faith. And you can't have true joy that's beyond all circumstances unless you have faith. So they're all tied to faith in Christ. They're products of faith. Now this, I touched on this scripture, this Philippians 4 passage, I touched on it last week when we were talking about peace. Now, because he talks about all these things at the very first, and in verse 7, he talks about the promise of that, is not to rejoice in the Lord and not be anxious, and then he has a promise, the peace of God will follow. Okay? Now, Paul, what's interesting about this letter to the church in Philippi is Paul wrote this letter in prison. How many of us would be writing the joy, a letter to a church that we had started about joy and stressing joy when we were in prison? You know, I know for me, I would be tempted to go, you know, kind of whine a little bit. Anybody besides me would whine a little bit? I can't believe these people have put me in prison. I didn't do anything. I'm just telling the good news of Jesus, and here I find myself in prison. And just a little, you know, I could say that a little whinier. I do have that gift is in me, okay? I do have the gift of whining. But Paul, he uses this word joy or a form of joy 17 times in this letter he wrote to the church in Philippi, 17 times. And he speaks of joy in this way, that joy that transcends our circumstances. Yes, he found himself in prison. Yes, he was beaten and all of those things that, you know, he was falsely accused and all the stuff that came along with his ministry. And yet he said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Is that what he said? Somehow he said, rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, you know, he didn't say it, but he could have said, I'm in prison and I'm rejoicing. I'm in prison and I find it a privilege to be in prison because I'm in prison for my King. But he says, this joy that I'm talking about transcends circumstances. You can have this kind of joy in prison. You can have this kind of joy when our medical diagnosis is not all that great. We can have this kind of joy when our relationships are broken, when we don't have food in the pantry, when we don't have a job, when we don't have, you know, all of the things that this world can throw at us. Paul is saying, no, rejoice in the Lord always. This joy transcends your circumstances. And then he goes on to say that joy and contentment is learned. He says in verse 12, I have learned that word to soak in for a second. Somehow, this didn't come naturally for Paul. It says he's learned it. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He's learned it. Okay, there's been something going on in his life that has taught him this joy that transcends understandings. What's been going on in his life? The very next thing, joy is learned through trials, hard times. I'm yet to meet anyone that grew closer and deeper with the Lord when everything was going well. Anybody else? Have y'all met anybody like that? It hasn't been true in my life, and I've never met, none of you have come to me and go, man, things are just great, and I'm going to come here and pour my heart out. See if I can just press in a little more to God. No, when people come to me and are asking me to intercede for them and to give them some spiritual direction, it's through trials that people are brought closer. Listen to this, and James, and I put this in the email this week to kind of entice you to this about this message today, but James in chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And then he goes on to say, because the testing of your faith, so trials are a test for our faith. Anybody can have faith when things are perfect. Did you know that? Because by definition, that's not faith. Faith, it says in Scripture, in Hebrews, it says, it's being sure of the things we hope for. Things we have not yet received. And so it's really easy to have faith when everything is swell. But no, God is saying in James 2, he's saying that trials are testing of our faith, and that testing of our faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you and I may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's as if God... we are this piece of clay, and through trials, God is forming us and shaping us into His image. When our youngest daughter, she didn't know I was going to say this. I've said it before, Jordan. It's okay. It's cool. It's cool, man. You're cool. But when she was little, she had this growth spurt. There was a period in her life where, I mean, I can remember we'd tuck her into bed, and she'd just be like, Daddy, I just hurt. Well, what's wrong, sweetie? I just hurt. Everything just hurts. Well, she was growing, and all those ligaments and everything were straight, and it was painful. There was that moment when she was shooting up in height, and her body was saying, whoa, slow down a little bit. That's painful. Well, that's what he's talking about. This testing of our faith through trials develops a perseverance which matures and completes us. And many times it's painful. Many times it's painful. Am I the only one that's grown through trials? Am I the only one? Nobody else, just me? Okay, well. All right, so we're gonna get into, I want to talk about the secret of this joy that we're talking about, this joy that I just defined, that's being defined for us in Philippians 4, that transcends understanding, that is learned through trials in our life. That kind of joy. The secret of great joy, godly joy, is to praise God sacrificially. Now, when we are down and struggling, the last thing that comes instinctively to us, easily for us, is to praise God. It's easy to praise God when the world is right, isn't it? When all is right, when everyone's healthy and we got plenty of money and plenty of food and plenty of friends and all of those, plenty of popularity, all that stuff that we desire. When all those things are lined up perfectly, it's easy to praise God. But Scripture doesn't tell us that that's the only time we're supposed to praise God. It says that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And I submit to you, we can't do that until we understand how much Jesus loves us. When we begin to understand that Jesus loved us enough to take nails for us. That was not, do you think that was a pleasant experience for him? Do you think he looked forward to that? In fact, it says the night before he went to the cross that he was so anxious, and there's a medical condition, I forget the name of it, but there's a medical condition where you under severe stress, the blood vessels can rupture and literally your blood can come out through your sweat glands. What does Scripture tell us? He sweat what seemed to be drops of blood. Look it up. It's a medical condition. I can get you the name if you're interested. And so it's a sacrificial. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 12 that the joy that Jesus endured the cross because of the joy set before him. Guess what the joy set before him was? You and I. Our right standing before the Father. He was going to make us right before the Father. He was going to reconcile us unto himself. He was going to pay the price that we owed. And so a lot of people will see that scripture and think, well, Jesus was talking about the joy set before him was heaven, because he knew that when he died, he was going to go to heaven. No, Jesus had been in heaven. Okay? He came to earth. The God became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. God became flesh to die for us. And so the joy set before him was yours and my salvation. That's sacrificial love. Are we getting it? Nod your head if you're hearing me. We are to praise God sacrificially. I was talking with someone just not this past week, but the week before. And their life right now is pretty chaotic. A lot of things going on in their life. A lot of not great things going on in their life. And they're feeling really overwhelmed. And I told this person, I said, I know it'll take all the courage you can muster and all the will that you can muster, but I said, I'm asking you to consider praising God. I didn't say that lightly, like I knew all this is a piece of cake, you know. When things are chaotic around us, when friends that we have, loved ones we have cancer, and there's marital problems, and all those kinds of things are just all around us, we're to praise God. Hebrews chapter 13 says, through Jesus, so with his strength, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise. You want to have joy in your life? Do you want to have joy that transcends under circumstances in your life? Praise him. It's a challenge to us. If that's where you are right now, it's just like, man, all I can think about is all this bad stuff going on in my life. I don't like my job. I don't like my spouse. I don't like my kids. I don't like my nothing. Praise Him because He's worthy of our praise. Continually offer to God through Christ the sacrifice of praise. The secret of great joy is to praise God sacrificially. Second thing, the secret of great joy is to replace worry with prayer. And you could easily put praise in there right beside prayer. Too many times we use prayer as like God was this great Santa Claus in the sky and we give Him the list of what we want for Christmas. Okay, Lord, please, you know, help me to do this, and please heal this person, and please. And those are great things. We should submit any of our requests to God. But sometimes we just praise Him. Just praise Him for who He is and what He's done for you. This scripture in Philippians today, Paul is telling us in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Anxious, you can replace that word with worry. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We replace worry with prayer. That's a secret to joy. Joy that exceeds our circumstances. It's hard. Did you know that it's hard to be content when you're worried and anxious about every little thing in your life? I mean, you know, I use this word, and I know life is hard, and sometimes I do this. But do we wallow? I don't know why, but that word just has some significance to me. Do we wallow in our stuff? You know, I don't see that in scriptures. Like, you know, if you feel like wallowing, wallow. I don't. If you see that, I'll check my concordance later, but I don't think it's in there. I'm not sure wallowing is in the Bible. No, it says, don't be anxious about anything. Come to me. That's what Jesus is saying. Come to me. And I love that passage, and I could just, because I picture Jesus with His hands out, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we all want, is rest for our souls? I mean, just like I can remember, I'm going to probably get emotional. I didn't even think about saying this, but I can remember when I was a little boy, my dad had those big dad hands. Anybody ever, dad had the big dad hands? And sometimes the big dad hand was on my backside, but that's another story. That's another sermon. But I can remember sitting in my dad's lap and those dad hands wrapped around me and just hugging me. That's what God wants for us. It doesn't matter what if your earthly father was like that or if your earthly father was never like that. God is like that. He wants you to crawl up in His lap and He wants you to just let Him embrace you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Don't be anxious about anything. Come to me. Cast all your anxiety upon Him, for He cares for you. That's what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5. And third, the secret of great joy is godly thinking. Godly thinking. And I love this list. If we did this list in verse 8, if we thought about this stuff, we'd be a joyful people. But what we do, and I'm including myself in the group, you know we do it, church. We wallow, don't we? We wallow. But God is saying, don't wallow. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about those things. What has God done for us? Who is He? I mean, is anybody else humbled by the same God that flung the stars in the sky and divided the land from the sea and created every living thing, loves me, loves you? Is anyone else humbled by that? Think about those things. Joy is the result of habitually doing, saying, thinking the right things. And the right things are the things of God, the things God has done for us. Sadness, depression, discouragement is the result of habitually doing, saying, and thinking the wrong things. See, the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us to be a discouraged people. He wants us to be a joyless people. He wants us to be a depressed people. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come to give you abundant life. I've come to give you joy beyond circumstances. So if joy is the result of doing, saying, and thinking the right things, and he talks about, in verse 8 here, talks about to think about things that are true. What's true? What is foundational truths? First one is that God loves you. You're loved. It doesn't matter if you feel it or not, you're loved. God loves you. It says we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we're going to talk more about the love of God next week. So we know that God loves us. We know that God is with us. God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He comes to us. He lives inside of us. Those who have placed their faith in him, he lives inside of us through his Spirit. And we know that God will work things together for the good. And sometimes, you know, and that can be really hollow when you've had, I mean, let me tell you something that I'd advise against. I would hesitate to use that scripture right after someone has suffered a traumatic loss. Sometimes we try to fix things when someone has had a sudden and tragic death in their family or something like that, and God works for good in all things, and that's true. May not be the exact greatest time to whoop that scripture out. Sometimes we just need to hug and not say a word. Sometimes we just need to hug and just say, I hurt with you. I can't fix it, but I hurt with you. But God does indeed work all things together for the good. And we know that we belong to God. Isn't that awesome? I've talked about this before, especially when we baptize an infant, but I've talked about how that I can just see that we were, as Gentiles, we were not part of God's people. We were not heirs to the promise, which is what Scripture tells us. And that through Christ, it's as if, it says that we were adopted into his family. It's as if we were in this great orphanage. And God's walking along, and he's got all these people to choose from. And he comes to you and to me, and he says, that one. I want that one. Right there. That one's mine. That's God. That's how he feels about us. How great is the love of the Father that he's lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Did you know you're a child of God? You're a child of the King? It doesn't matter what you've done, and it doesn't matter what's been done to you. It doesn't matter what your past is. He said, I want that one. And you know, I've said this before, but when our girls were born, I just loved them. I mean, you know, it wasn't like they had the cleanest poopy diaper in Abilene or anything, you know, dramatic or crazy or wonderful like that. And it wasn't like, golly, you know, they lifted their head faster than any baby. It wasn't. As soon as the babies are born, it's like, just love them. Because they belong to me. They're mine. It's not because they've done anything. They're just mine. You know, it reminds me that just that whole miracle of birth. And you probably didn't know this, but I've never given birth before. It may have looked like it on occasion, but that's why I keep my jacket buttoned. But from what I've heard from ladies is that the pain of the labor is worth it all when you see that baby. That's what I hear. You know, us men, we go through pain too. You know, y'all usually mean to us and stuff, you know. Cheryl and I went to, this was back in the day of the Lamaze. Do they still do Lamaze anymore? You know, I had no idea that it was so difficult to learn how to breathe. But, you know, you had to learn to breathe and all this stuff. And you're supposed to have a focal point. You remember that? You're supposed to have a focal point. You're supposed to, the woman's supposed to focus on that. And the husband, it's like, breathe. So I'm doing my deal. Breathe. And Cheryl's like. Come to find out later, I was standing in her focal point. She couldn't see her focal point. I messed everything up. But when that child is born, the labor pains, from what ladies tell me, the labor pains are just a distant memory because of the joy set before you. Yes? Yes, ladies? And finally, great joy has a payoff. Great joy results in God's incomprehensible peace and strength. So he says in this passage today, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Don't worry, but just come to me. That's our assignment, to rejoice in the Lord. Don't worry. Submit our prayers to Him, and then the payoff is peace and strength. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a payoff. And you see it in people. You see it in people. Now, that's a challenge before us, is do they see it? Do people see it in us? But I see it in people who've had great loss, and you come in and into that moment. As a pastor, to me, that's really humbling because I have the blessing of being in that moment of great need for a family, and that's a privilege. I don't take it lightly. And so I see that moment in a lot of people's lives, and I see the peace that passes understanding in many of your lives when you're in those moments. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So how about it, church? Do we have great joy? Let's ask you if you would. Just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank You that You are the source of joy. You're the source of hope and peace. Teach us, God. May we be like Paul. May we learn the secret of being content in any and every situation. May we be a people of great joy. May we be a people that exude great joy. The angels that Christmas morn, the angels proclaimed, I bring you good news of great joy. Help us to be that kind of people. Father, You place Your Spirit in us, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May that fruit just ooze out of us, God. Thank You that You loved us enough to come and to dwell among us. Thank You that You love us and that You have called us Your very own. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand to close this morning, I invite you, if you have not accepted Jesus. You can't have peace and love and hope and joy. You can't have those things without Jesus. You have to have faith in Jesus before those things come. So if you've not placed your trust in Jesus Christ, I invite you to come and visit with me this morning. Or if you'd like to come and pray, you're also invited to do that as we close.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful is my song, shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. Took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, oh how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love.
The joy set before Him. You, get your finger, take your index finger, point it right here. You're the joy. Who for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. Now rejoice in the Lord always. Go and tell somebody. Be a joyful people. Amen.